Now, if you turn to chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel and reading once again the words of the Saviour out of that chapter. Chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel, and we take up our reading this morning at verse 13 of the chapter. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes off thorns, or figs off thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Amen. In the second half of this chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel that we read together this morning, our Lord Jesus Christ utters those well-known words about there being a broad way that leads to destruction and a narrow way that leadeth on to life. That's in verses 13 and 14 of the chapter. He then goes on to give a sincere word of warning to his people about false prophets. And in those words, of course, our Lord is delivering a word to his people for all generations, and how we ought to always beware of false prophets. To enable them to do that, he put the warning into effect. He gives them a whole set of guidelines, a whole set of marks, whereby they would be able to detect any such false prophet coming into their midst. And then beginning at verse 24 of the chapter, another one of our Lord's pictures, another one of our Lord's parables, to press home all the things that he has just been speaking about, indeed to round off all of the things that he has just been speaking about. In our time together for this morning then, it's really that parable that I want us to think about as our Lord brings this sermon to a close, this Sermon on the Mount, as that sermon is usually referred to. So without any further ado, just to take up our Lord's parable as he concludes his Sermon on the Mount. And it's a pretty straightforward parable, of course. Our Lord speaks about two men who set out with the intention of building two houses, one apiece, one for the one and one for the other. Each of them carried out his intentions, and the end result was, of course, that each of the two men did build a house. And you could see those houses standing on the particular location on which they had been built. Eventually, however, says our Lord, a whole new set of circumstances and changes entered into their life, which changed the whole aspect of things. A flood came, says the Saviour, and a storm arose, he says in another place, and the winds blew and beat down on those houses, so that one of those houses crumbled away and fell to the ground. Only one of the two houses stood firm, says the Saviour, and the reason why that was the case was on account of the foundations on which that particular house had been built. The other house had no such foundation whatsoever, and so that house fell, and it fell because it had no such foundation as the former house had. Now, it's a parable of life, of course, that Christ is setting before us there. The two houses really represent the two men's lives and as they would live their lives. The winds, the storms that arose, the elements, are partly the issues of life that come upon us, the affairs of life that so often can come and beat in upon us in the course of our life. They are partly that, but they are especially the overwhelming floods of the termination of our life, when the end of our life eventually comes in the will and in the purpose of God. And the foundations, of course, on which either those houses were built, well, really, the foundations are the whole point of the parable that the Lord is setting before them and in setting before us with the intention of pressing home the things that he has been speaking to those people about. Well, you see what the foundations consisted of then. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And very simply, you see, our Lord is saying that the foundation that man built his house upon, that rock, is simply hearing his word and believing his word and performing his word in the course of our life. That's how the man lay the good foundation for his life, not only for his life temporal, but for his life eternal. And it's the rejection of my word, he says, that leaves a person without that necessary foundation, not only for this present life, but especially with regards to that life that shall never end. You see where that man whose house didn't fall ultimately placed his foundation or placed his house. It was on a rock, says the Lord. He built his house upon a rock. And that rock, of course, is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, as the old hymn says, Jesus and his word. That's the rock. And that's the rock on which we build. The man heard the word and believed the word and dug down deep and got that rock and then established his house upon that rock and built his house upon that rock. The application, my friends, is so straightforward. When our Lord used these pictures, they were so straightforward, or meant to be so straightforward, to our hearts and our souls. And he heard and believed and dug down, and the Lord is saying to each and every one of us, do the same thing. Build your life aright, not only this life that you have for the period of time that God ordains, but that eternal life. And you will set your house, your life, upon a rock for time and for eternity as you hear and do my word. That's simple. You don't need to be a graduate to understand that. And our Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, is preaching, speaking in a straightforward manner with regards to life, life temporal and life eternal. That's the business, you see, of building our lives in the light of the picture that the Lord gives about these two men who build their houses. Now have a look at some of the various points of similarity between the two men as our Lord speaks about them and their individual houses. Both obviously thought it essential that they build a house. That goes without saying. Both obviously thought it essential that they made their house as good as they possibly could make their house, and both of them no doubt put the adequate hours of labour and interest and everything else into the building of their house. But that's where the similarities ended, you see, or really where the great similarity came into effect. And very simply says the Lord, one man chose to build his house on a certain foundation, a rock, and the other man never did any such thing. And he simply began to raise up his house on the sand. Now, why did they do that? Why did both these men act in such diverse ways? And the answer is really embedded within the parable that our Lord spoke. One man took into account the prevailing conditions of the area in which he was going to build his house, and the other didn't. You see, one man obviously knew that that area had certain characteristics about it, and so he built his house and planned his house accordingly. Now, you know that happens in everyday life. You come across people and they've built the house, and suddenly they discover they've got a window or a door in the wrong place. And when the wind comes whistling down from Ben Wyvis, they would wish that they had placed their window or their door somewhere else. They didn't take the prevailing conditions into account in the area in which they were going to build. One man, you see, obviously knew the prevailing conditions of the area and built accordingly. The other obviously didn't, or more so, refused to believe what he was told about the prevailing conditions. He flew in the face of what he was told about the prevailing conditions and refused to build his house with necessary foundations for those conditions. Now, you see the application. If we limit the scope of understanding of life to this life, to whatever period of life God gives us to live in this world, then, my friends, we're building a life full of uncertainty. It's indefinite. We don't know how long we're going to live. We're thinking only of life as this life. So we build our life in accordance with what we see or believe life to be. On the other hand, if we lift up our eyes to the Word of God and open up our ears to the Word of God, then we see that God informs us that this present life is not life. Or at best, it's only a particle of life. And when the Bible speaks about life, it speaks about life as an eternal thing. And this life merely as a forerunner of that life which each and every one of us must enter into in that great eternal day. There is temporal life and there is eternal life. Not two different lives, but two parts of the one life that each and every one of us will have to live. The life that has to do with the things now, and the life that has to do with the things in eternity. And let me say this, and listen well. It's our view of life that will determine how we build our life. And if we've only got a view that hasn't taken in the prevailing conditions, if you like, what life is all about, then of course people build for this life and this life alone. But if we believe what the Word of God says, then we build a life not only for now, but forever and forevermore. You see the picture that the Lord gives. The winds blew and the storms and the floods. All these things, you see, that arise and beat upon the two men's houses. And as I said, in a sense, They are the winds and the storms and the floods of this life that can so readily come upon any of us in this life. But ultimately, finally, Christ is speaking about the elements of death and the floods of death. Not a very pleasant subject, a very popular subject in these days in which we live, but ultimate, inevitable, that there will come that time, my friends, there is nothing more certain that there will come that day when each and every one of us will be cut off out of this life. And the question is, on what foundation does our life stand when that final storm arises and that final flood pours in upon each and every one of us? And you see, the man who takes the eternal factor into account is the man who built his house on a rock, who looked to the prevailing conditions, looked to everything that he needed to take into account if he was going to build a house that was going to stand when those prevailing conditions burst out upon him. And of course, with that settled view of eternal life, then we live our temporal life as we ought to do. Well, what about our foundations for life? Also eternal and temporal as well, my friends. Have we made adequate foundations for our life? Is our life built on proper foundations? It's as simple as that. And very simply, I suppose, we can think in terms of false foundations and only one true foundation. Now, there are two classical false foundations on which people build their life. One is things, and the other is theories, or if you like, possessions and philosophies. You'll know one of the best known passages of the Word of God is that encounter that our Lord Jesus Christ had with the rich young ruler. He's the young man that asked Christ how he would enter into eternal life. And Christ knew the challenge that was needed in that particular man's life. And he said, sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow after me. And he turned away very sorrowful, because he wouldn't give up his riches to follow Christ. Now, of course, the disciples were absolutely astonished at the Saviour's words. Jesus looked around and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Christ isn't saying that if a man or a woman is rich, they can't enter the kingdom of God. He's saying if they trust in their riches, they can't enter into the kingdom of God. Because they're trusting in something other than the living God and Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. It's an interesting word in the Greek language that our Lord uses. And you know, the New Testament is written for the most part in Greek. It's a word pronounced chremata. And it simply means things. And Christ is saying, they that trust in things. A tremendous word for our day. I don't know where these people get the notion that the Bible's old-fashioned. No. The Bible is so far ahead, my friends, that it becomes us to listen and listen well. And isn't this a thing generation? We've got things for everything. Anything we want to do, we've got a thing to do it with. Well, all right, we're glad of those things. But to trust in those things, really a continuation of what the Lord has said about your treasures. And it's where you place your heart, that's your treasure. And Christ is simply saying that if you trust in things, rather than in him, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Remember how Paul told Timothy to warn them that were rich not to trust in uncertain riches. And aren't they just that? There goes another big firm in America, collapsed to the ground. Uncertain, nothing more uncertain than things, and nothing more sure than the gospel of Jesus Christ the Savior. That's a false foundation. When people trust in possessions, trust in anything over and above or rather than the Christ of God. Another notable false foundation, of course, that we all need to be constantly aware of is that which you can simply call theories, things and theories, possessions and philosophies. And of course, when all's said and done, my friends, that's virtually what the parable of those two men and their houses is all about. You see, the one man, the one who built his house on a good foundation, was the man who heard and believed and performed what Christ said. What Christ said. The other only heard, didn't believe, certainly didn't perform the things that Christ has said. He'd another philosophy. He'd another theory with regards as to how and where he should build his house. Lots of people have theories, political theories, religious theories as to how they're going to build their life. Let me just bring in another party, as you might say, just to take in the whole fullness of the Lord's parable. Closely related is those people that our Lord speaks about in verse 15. Beware of false prophets, he says, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They are people who will come to you with theories about your soul and about your life rather than Christ's theories and philosophies and truth concerning your soul. And if you want to put them into the whole picture of the builders, well, you see, that third party, the false prophets, they're like a certain kind of estate agent. And when you come to buy a house, they'll tell you everything about the house. A tremendous view of the sea. If you stand on a ladder and lean it against the chimney, you've got a tremendous view of the sea. They'll tell you this, they'll tell you that. The one thing they won't deal with is the foundations of the house. They'll tell you all about the facade and about the windows and about the doors, but they won't tell you about the foundations. Christ tells you about everything. And he tells you about the foundations, my friends. And he asks us to look into our hearts and our souls and see if we've built our life on the right foundations. Not on false, not on things, not on theories. Christ is extending, you see, life, and life more abundantly. Life in him now and life with him for all eternity. And any other theory is absolutely an abomination and sends men and women to a non-done eternity forever and forevermore. So we ask ourselves, surely in the light of the Saviour's parable, how is it with us with regards to our life? In other words, is our life going to stand not only in the storms of life, but at the end? To change the picture or the figure, that old hymn you remember, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? And then it goes away beyond that, and the man is able to say, it will surely hold in the floods of death. In life and in death. And that's coming. That's coming. Well, my friends, you take the parable and you look at the things that our Lord Jesus Christ is saying. In the parable, the man built his house upon a rock. And don't you see the lovely point that we can draw out of that? The rock was there all the time. Man didn't create the rock. Man didn't make the rock. The rock was there all the time. From the foundation of the world, the rock was there. And doesn't the apostle say, no other foundation can man lay but that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. One foundation laid down from before the foundation of the world. And Christ invites us to build our life upon that one foundation. You get the apostle Peter uses the same kind of language, because Peter sat there that day and when Christ preached the Sermon on the Mount. Wouldn't it have been great to have sat there? At least we've got the words. We've got the words today. How we've heard them, that's a different matter. But we've got the words. And Peter, sitting there that day, seems to go way back to this very thing that Christ was speaking about. Wherefore, he says, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth in him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence. See what God says about Christ. He says, behold, mine elect. You see what those say about Christ as they echo what God says about Christ. Unto you that believe, he is precious. But you see what others say about Christ. We don't want him. They're builders rejecting the chief cornerstone. The Bible says. So the Word of God says. Don't you be interested in anything other than what the Word of God says. Because it's the only way that we can build our life for time and for eternity. And what about that word then that our Savior speaks as he speaks about that foolish man in verse 26? And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. A sobering word. Weigh every word of Christ. And he doesn't only say that this man's house fell. He says when it fell, it was a great fall. Don't we all go on holiday and we come across ruins of a great house? And it's a sad thing that a great house should crumble and fall to the ground. But what's that, my friends, in comparison to the fall of a soul? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? My friends, we are called to build a life for now and for eternity. And when that eternal day comes, our life only stands as it does now, as it's built upon the rock. It was found, it says the Saviour, upon a rock. And you see, it's the rock that gets all the credit. The only reason the house didn't fall was because it was built on the rock. It's Christ and the merits of Christ that get all the credit and the glory in the gospel of God's salvation. So our Lord has preached all these words. And now comes, you see, the closing word of application with that classical word, therefore. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. And just to conclude then for ourselves for this morning, let's apply that closing word of application to our own hearts and to our own souls in every way. Let me say this, my friends. As we have read and looked at and considered these words of the Saviour for about 7 or 8 months now in the course of our sermons on the Sermon on the Mount, have we heard the words? And more importantly, have we done the words? Christ says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, will I liken unto a wise man. Have we heard and endeavoured to do, for example, the Beatitudes, the blessings that belong to us as we're told to be poor in spirit and meek and merciful and hungering and thirsting after righteousness and being a peacemaker so that we will be recognized and recognizable as children of God? Have we heard? Have we heard? What about the two similitudes about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world? What kind of a contribution have we made over that period of time in setting forth the gospel in the midst of a crooked and dark and perverse generation? Are the Lord's words about being able to differentiate between that form of religion that majors on the outside and knows very little about the inside? Ye have heard it said by them of old, but I say unto you. And he goes right into the heart. Right into the heart. And what about those blessed words? Have we learned to rejoice in the fact that if we're believers in Christ, that we can lift up our hearts and our souls in prayer to our Father in heaven every day that we live? Give us this day our daily bread. That we can take the Lord's words as he tells us, behold the fowls of the air and the lilies of the field, and realize that our hearts and our souls are drawn out towards a God in whose hand our life and our breath is. And have we had a good belly laugh at ourselves when Christ has told us about the man with a plank in his eye undertaking to take the speck out of his brother's eye? Whoso heareth these words of mine and doeth them, I will like it. I'm not saying this. Don't shake your head. I'm not saying this. I'm not saying this. This is your professed Saviour and my professed Saviour saying to you and saying to me, if you've not only heard these things, but endeavoured to follow them out in your life, you're a wise man or a wise woman or a wise young person. You're like the man who built his house upon a rock. Not like the man who built his house in the sand of theories and speculations and things, and the house fell. And great was the fall of it. Christ doesn't tell us how long it stood before it fell. He tells us about the ultimate fall. And whether our life be long or short, my friends, all of that is in the hand of the Lord our Saviour. And no matter how long we live on the face of this earth of ours, if we live without Christ, when it comes to that eventual fall, short or long, if we haven't built on Christ, then we fall into an undone eternity. And one prayer that any of us should make, Lord, cause me to hear and cause me to do the things that you have said. And if we make that prayer, and constantly make that prayer, then we'll go on in the way that the Lord directs. May he bless his word to our hearts and our souls. Amen.